On today's archive, we hear from Nancy Sinatra. She has her first album out since 1995, titled Nancy Sinatra, collaborating with such artists as British rocker Morrissey and Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth. Here's a song written by U2's Bono and The Edge. It was originally written for her father, but never recorded.
Two shots of happy, one shot of sad. You think he's no good? Well, he knew he was bad. Took him to a place, now he can't get back. Two shots of happy, one shot of sad. We walked together down a dead-end street, mixing the bitter with the sweet. Don't try to figure out what we might have had. Just two shots of happy, one shot of sad. He was a singer.
Nancy Sinatra is best known for hits like These Boots Are Made for Walkin' and How Does That Grab You, Darling, in which she affects a style that's tough but sexy. The daughter of Frank Sinatra's earlier records were Bubblegum Productions, overseen by Annette Funicello's music director. They sold overseas but bombed in the States. In fact, her label Reprise was ready to dump her, even though the company was founded by her father. But Reprise gave her one more chance in 1965, and with some help, she changed her image and her luck. Terry Gross spoke to Nancy Sinatra in 1996.
Jimmy Bowen, who was head of A&R at Reprise, put me with a guy named Lee Hazelwood. Lee had approached Jimmy, unbeknownst to me. He said, I can get her a chart record in this country, and if I don't get her a chart record in this country, you can tell me to leave. And he said, I promise a chart record the first time out. And he delivered. It was called So Long, Babe. And it barely made the charts, but it made the charts. During that session, he said to me, you can't sing like Nancy Nicelady anymore. You have to sing for the truckers. At about this time, I was getting a divorce. My husband decided he didn't want to have children, and I did, and he knew it. So we split. And Lee said to me, you've been married and now you're divorced and people know that. So let's lose this virgin image. Let's get rid of it. And we did that. And we lowered the key. We dropped my voice down where it belonged. Again, where I was more comfortable early on in the more R&B type things.
Let's hear These Boots Are Made for Walkin' from a recent collection of your greatest hits on Rhino Records.
Okay.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else is getting all your best. These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Nancy Sinatra is my guest. Did your whole image change after this record came out? The way you dressed, what your public persona?
You know, again, timing is everything in life. I had been on tour in Europe. I brought home from Carnaby Street the miniskirt. And I wasn't crazy about the way my legs looked in the miniskirt, so I put on a pair of boots. I wore that around. It became my favorite thing to wear. I wore it to the dance clubs that I went to.
I messed up you right here. Were they white boots?
No, they weren't. Actually, they were kind of a camely brown color.
Uh-huh.
And I people would make fun of me saying, well, what are you going to play, tennis or what? You know, because the miniskirt was not a staple the way it is now. As a matter of fact, it wasn't seen at all, you know?
Now, a little later on, you recorded a duet with your father, Something Stupid. One thing that's always interested me about this record is that it's a song sung from the perspective of two lovers, but you were singing it as father and daughter. Was that a slightly awkward thing to do?
No, it was a very natural thing to do, but the disc jockeys dubbed it the incest song.
Oh, really?
At the time, which I think probably added to it in a way. You know, it gave them something fun to kid about. Now recording it, there are different ways to love people, I think, you know.
Was it daunting to record a duet with your father, or were you relaxed about it?
I was very relaxed about it. I had a certain number of hits of my own, and the scary part, though, was coming in when at the end of the session that they were doing that night with Jobim.
Oh, that's the date he recorded with Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It was one of the sessions for that album, the first of their albums.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, coming in with my little, I called us the B team. Coming in with the B team and watching the A team in action, I was just, it was enthralling. And I don't like this word, but awesome. You know, and then of course the A team moved over, and the little B team took over: Lee Hazelwood, Jimmy Bowen, Billy Strange, and our rhythm section. And we cut a number one song.
Yeah, you delivered.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear it? This is my guest Nancy Sinatra and her father Frank Sinatra.
I know I stand in line until you think you have the time to spend an evening with me. And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. Then afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you. I can see it in your eyes that you despise the same old lies you heard the night before. And though it's just a line to you.
Nancy Sinatra with her father in 1967. When Terry Gross spoke with Nancy Sinatra in 1996, she asked about something that was considered pretty risque, especially for a woman in her mid-50s.
You posed naked for Playboy.
Yes.
I haven't seen the picture, but why did you do it?
When I decided that it was time to get back to work,
mm-hmm.
I realized that it was a lot more competitive out there than it had been when I left. And I needed a good, shocking promotional tool. And I didn't know in the 90s what there was available. My publicist said to me, "What about Playboy?" And I said, "Oh, no, never. I mean, I wouldn't do it in my 20s. Why would I do it in my 50s? He said, "Well, it's a tool." I said, "But you know, I sure would like them to shoot the pictures for the album." I was doing a new album at the time called One More Time. And I met with Marilyn Grabowski, who's the West Coast photo editor for Playboy, and Stephen Wada, the photographer. We decided what we were going to do for the album. And Marilyn said, "Why don't we do a pictorial?" I said, I don't think so. And she said, "Nancy, if you don't like the pictures," she said, "you look great. If you don't like the pictures, you can take them home and burn them or whatever else you want to do with them." So I said, "Well, Stephen, you better take a look at me first." So Stephen and the makeup lady and I went into a private kind of a room in the Playboy studio. And I did my little strip, and he said, "I think you look great." He said, "Let's do it." I said, "Okay."
But you like the pictures?
The pictures were wonderful. They were absolutely wonderful. And this was before any airbrushing or mm-hmm. retouching. And I was just, you know, I was torn. And I thought, would this offend anybody? would this possibly be offensive to my family, first of all, my children, of course?
Mm-hmm.
And I checked with them, and they both said, why don't you go for it, Mom? It's probably a good idea.
So did it do what it wanted, what you wanted it to do?
Absolutely. That and more.
Did your father give you his blessing?
Not exactly, no. No, it was more get more money for it. You know, get more money. But he understood the reasons, and that I appreciated that.
Nancy Sinatra, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry. I've really enjoyed this.
Nancy Sinatra speaking with Terry Gross in 1996. Her new album is called Nancy Sinatra.